Red Brick Media. High quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our dawah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. May peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. We're talking about the hadith narrated by Al-Imam Muslim from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the six rights of a Muslim over another Muslim. And in the first episode of these six series of episodes for GLM TV, I talked a little bit about the salam and some of the rulings of the salam. And bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this segment, we're going to talk, insha'Allah, about responding to the invitation of a Muslim when he gives it and the requirement to do so. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we remind ourselves of the hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the rights of a Muslim over another Muslim are six. The companion said, "What are they, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "When you meet him, give him the greeting of peace. When he invites you, respond to that invitation. When he seeks your advice, advise him. When he sneezes and praises Allah, supplicate for Allah's mercy upon him. When he becomes ill, visit him. And when he dies, follow him. I follow his janazah." In this segment, we're talking about the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if he invites you, respond to his invitation. This is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, commanding us that if somebody invites you to partake in a meal or invites you to come to their house and have some food, especially the invitation that relates to the walima, to the wedding celebration, somebody says, "Ya akhi, come, we would like you to come, I would like to invite you, please come to my house and have some food. Please come and have some drink. Please come to this particular hall and partake in this celebration," for example. Then you should respond. And indeed you must respond unless you have a reason not to do so. And just like how the salam had a certain amount of fiqh or understanding to it, likewise responding to the invitation has a fiqh to it. Before that, we should say, why is it so important to respond? Muslims have this amazing brotherhood that exists between them. And part of fostering the brotherhood we talked about is giving the salam. Another part of fostering the brotherhood is that when somebody invites you, no matter who they are, no matter who you are, no matter what your status is in the society or what their status is in the society, whatever your status, it will not reach the height of the status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what your status is, it will not reach the status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to respond to the invitation of the lowest of the companions in terms of their lineage and their sort of status in the society, to foster this brotherhood in Islam. And for many, many other reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ultimate wisdom behind everything. And some of the reasons we see and we pick out the wisdoms or the points, the benefits from each action. One of them, no doubt, is the fostering of this brotherhood that exists between the Muslims. So when somebody invites you and you respond to that invitation, it builds up that friendship and that brotherhood, which is such an important part of the religion of Al-Islam. Remember the hardship and the difficulty involved for that brother in inviting you. He's made or she has made the effort to call you, to invite you. Perhaps has gone to some expense or some difficulty in order to provide this food. Not all the time when people provide food and call you to take part, is it easy for them. And subhanAllah, this is about honouring them and showing that degree of respect and honour amongst the Muslims, that they've made an effort with you, so you return the favour in kind by accepting this offer. Now when we come to talk a little bit about the fiqh of responding to an invitation, we have to say a few things. The first one is that we have to talk about invitations that contain, or you fear that they will contain, a portion of haram. For example, you believe that this wedding party will be a mixed gathering, or that it will have music, or that the people will not be covered or dressed appropriately, or that the people are going to miss the prayer and not to pray, and so many of the other sort of haram things that can be involved. Or you believe that alcohol will be served at the table, for example. Then the question here is one of balancing the good against the evil, or balancing the positive and the negative consequences. If you feel by going that the people will stop doing that evil because of your presence. And that's true for some people. Perhaps you invite one of the students of knowledge, one of the mashayikh, one of the scholars, one of the people of high standing in the community. And when that person comes to the gathering, the people feel shy. They don't feel shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they should. But they feel shy of that individual, and they switch off the music, or they, out of respect for that individual, they sort of remove that haram. Or they, maybe perhaps it's not that case, or perhaps it's a case that that individual simply has the ability to advise them, the knowledge and the standing to be able to advise them and say to them, Ya akhi, ya ukhti, this is not permissible in Islam. And so the person changes, or the group of people change the haram that they were doing. If you believe this will be the case, then you should still respond to the invitation, as long as you believe that you will be broadly or generally free from harm. Because this is a chance for you to give da'wah, a chance for you to change, to do islah, to change the condition of a people with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this deals with the issue of when it is something that is haram. However, if you feel by attending this gathering or this invitation that contains some haram, that you will be contributing to it, that you will perhaps even be partaking in it, that your presence or your absence will not be missed, then, and that you feel that there is no sort of opportunity for you to call them to change, then it is obligatory upon you to refuse this invitation, even if the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to accept the invitation. In the other ahadith and the principles of Islam and the ayat of the Quran, we know that when we go to a gathering of people who are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a gathering of people where there is some evil talk or vain talk, we are commanded, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Turn away from them until they take part and they begin to talk about something else. For example, when this ayah specifically refers to the times when people are speaking without knowledge about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or making fun of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But broadly, we can apply the principles to all of these kinds of haram. That if you feel that you're just simply going to be sitting there and participating, then in this case, it is obligatory for you to refuse the invitation. So this deals with what we do if the gathering contains something which you feel will be haram and you feel will affect you very badly. Of course, it's always better if you can turn it into a da'wah opportunity. So you can say, Ya akhi, if you would be kind enough to switch off the music, I would love to come. But you know that I can't sit and listen to music because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us not to do so, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us not to do so. If you feel this, if you can do this and take this opportunity and you feel that you can make a difference, then this is even better. But at a minimum, you have an excuse not to attend if you feel that you will not be able to change them, or you feel that you will be partaking in the haram. Likewise, perhaps you yourself had a problem with something. For example, someone who had a problem with alcohol, and then you are invited to somewhere where you feel there may be some alcohol, and you feel you may be tempted to fall into that sin that you fell into before. So again, it is obligatory on you to refrain. And you look at making an opportunity, for example, taking, perhaps you could send somebody else, perhaps you could involve other people in order to hopefully change that evil into a good, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about other excuses? When else can you refuse, apart from when there is haram? If you have a prior engagement, and it is a genuine prior engagement that you can't move. For example, you had agreed to attend a gathering of a brother or a sister, and you had already said yes, and then another brother or sister comes to you and says, would you attend my gathering? Would you come and eat? Would you come and partake in my walima, in the wedding celebration? And you say, I would love to, subhanAllah, I had already agreed to attend somewhere else, and so I will be unable to attend. or if it would cause you excessive hardship. For example, would you attend my walima? It's at 3 a.m. in the morning. This might cause you excessive hardship. And in this case, when it would cause you excessive hardship, it's permissible for you to say, I would love to attend, but honestly, it is going to cause me a lot of difficulty. It's going to be very, very hard for me to attend. I fear I may miss Salatul Fajr. I may not be able to go to work, or I finish late or from my existing job, or whatever it may be. And you say, it's going to cause me a lot of hardship. So then you have the right to refuse. Otherwise, you don't have the right to refuse as much as you can. It's very important, subhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Haqq al-Muslim, the right of a Muslim. It is not something that is recommended. It is a right of another Muslim over you. They can complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, say, I invited him and he didn't come. It's my right. The Prophet ﷺ made it a right. So it's very important that we respond. And it's not laziness. We don't, you know, that stops us from going. Oh, you know, I would go, but it's a Sunday and, you know, I'm sort of just want to stay at home. That's not really a valid excuse. But what is very difficult, for example, somebody says, you know, would you attend my walima? I'm getting married in Australia and you're in the UK. That is obviously extremely difficult for you to do. It's a hardship for you to travel that far. And so you may say, I would love to attend, but because of the distance in travel and the hardship in travel, I won't be able to. Other than that, you should happily attend and gladly attend, just as you would want your brother to attend yours. And I will say a last word on the issue of invitations, and that is the issue of weddings, about how we see how much fitna and how much trial and tribulation is caused over people who attend or don't attend other people's weddings, and families break up because so-and-so didn't attend and so-and-so didn't attend. How much of our community could be corrected by simply implementing this part of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: if he invites you, then accept his invitation. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم